Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Each week here at the cafe, I speak with one of the food writers from the Savervore section of the Burlington Free Press about a recent story they've written. This week, Melissa Pasadena is back at the VPR Cafe, but what she's here to talk about is a book that she recently worked on. It's the Cabot Creamery Cookbook. Melissa, welcome back to the VPR Cafe, and congratulations on the completion of the book.
Thanks so much, Rick.
So tell us about what role you played in this cookbook.
So this cookbook is a book that was a project between Cabot. It's a co-op of about 1,200 farmers in the Northeast, mostly New England, but also New York State. And they partnered with a division of Time, Inc., the big, huge publisher, to publish this cookbook, which is all recipes from the vast Cabot databases that come from lots of different places and features many of the farmers and recipes that they have developed.
So what was the best part of the project for you?
So I came in after the project had sort of been kicked off and they were looking for a writer. So I'm not the author of the cookbook, but I did all the writing, which included meeting with 16 different Cabot farm families, which is one of my favorite things to do, is actually get on the farm and talk with the people who are making the food that I love to eat. And I will say that before I even got involved with this project, I was a huge fan of Cabot All Products. So they're not paying me to say this. They did obviously pay me to work on the project. And then I got to help select and sort of quality control the recipes, because they have a really big database, as I mentioned. And the recipes come from all over, from bloggers, from people that they've paid to develop recipes for them over the years, from farmers who are part of their community. So we really had to, I don't love the term, but curate the recipes into sort of a cohesive whole. And then I worked on sort of tips and tricks and other fun ways to make the cookbook useful to people.
I'm guessing it would have been easy to make this a macaroni and cheese cookbook, because there's five recipes, mac and cheese recipes, in the book. So let's talk about recipes other than macaroni and cheese.
Yes, but there are lots of good macaroni and cheese recipes.
Yes,
and
are.
You're right. Every single farmer has a mac and cheese recipe. It could have indeed been an entire cookbook of mac and cheese. But what I loved was, I love cheddar. Could cook with it all the time. But you know, at a certain point, when you're testing cheddar recipes like every day for weeks on end, even, you know, as great as cheddar is, you're kind of like, okay, let's have a non-cheddar recipe. So it was really fun. They have this line of Greek-style yogurts, you know, the style that's become very popular over the last several years, that are much thicker. They're very high in protein, obviously low in fat, so they're generally good for you from a nutritional standpoint. And I happen to have loved Greek yogurt for a long time as an ingredient. So I got to do a lot of recipes with yogurt that were, you know, everything ranging from, there's a whole chart of smoothies. So we have a Green Mountain smoothie with kale. There's a nutty monkey protein smoothie with peanut butter and banana and honey. And those both have plain yogurt in them. And then a recipe that I brought for you to taste over there, Rick, that we just heated quickly in the microwave, is a really easy snack recipe, cheddar black bean spirals. And it's so easy. And I took actually a bunch of them to a group of high schoolers this weekend, and they were just oohing and aahing over it. And Rick is dipping it
in
a...
I'm going to dig in. You tell them what I'm eating.
Rick is digging, is eating that, and he dipped it into a yogurt salsa.
Oh.
So that's literally just salsa mixed with the plain Greek yogurt.
This is the best part of my job.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's super easy. You just take a tortilla or other flatbread, spread it with mashed beans with a little cumin, lime juice, and then sprinkle cheddar, roll it up like a spiral, and slice, and then microwave for a few seconds.
Boy, that was fabulous.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. With me today is Melissa Pasadena of the Burlington Free Press. We're talking about the Cabot Creamery Cookbook. Melissa, one of everybody's favorite foods is the grilled cheese sandwich. Did you pick up any tips on making a great one?
Oh, indeed I did, Rick. And there's a whole chart of great flavor combinations. But in terms of method, I got some great tips from a young woman, Rachel Freund. She's the youngest in a family, a Cabot farm family down in Western Connecticut. But she also happened to be a UVM student. She recently graduated, and she worked with a group at UVM that had a feel-good grilled cheese truck, all the proceeds donated to a nonprofit. And so she gave me three really good tips that I will share. So one is to think thin. So don't make your bread too thick, because then it makes it harder for the cheese in between to melt. So nice thin bread, nice thin cheese. They actually use cheese crumbles. You could use shredded cheese, but whatever you do, slice the cheese thinly, again, melting before burning the outside.
Got it.
And then a thin layer spread of butter on the outside, even before you put it in the pan or on the panini press, will help crisp it up. And then pressure, press, is really important. So they use a panini press, but many people don't have those. So I, at home, do it with a cast iron pan. So you've got nice solid bottom, but any pan will do with a good solid heavy bottom. And I actually use a foil-covered brick to press mine down, but you could use like a big can of diced tomatoes or a couple soup cans, anything to sort of give some pressure. Flip it, put the pressure on the other side. And then the other thing is to keep the heat low, medium low, because if you put it too high again, you'll burn the outside before the inside melts.
I know you tested a ton of recipes for this book. Any that surprised you?
Oh, gosh. You know, there were, and I feel like I've done this long enough. Nothing should surprise me, but they still do. There was a recipe that was on the lighter, healthier side that used one of Cabot actually has a quite good line of light cheddars that are reduced fat. So this was a low-fat spinach frittata, basically, and it has no flour or anything in it. And you use actually the sharp light cheddar as a base, and then it's chopped frozen spinach and lots of egg whites and some cottage cheese. And I thought, oh, gosh. This is going to be like a rubber ball. I'm going to like be able to bounce it off the floor. And it was actually really good. And then some of the desserts made with yogurt. I picked one out of the database just because it sounded great to me. It's a fresh lime and roasted banana pie. So sort of, you know, a key lime in that area, but use yogurt. And you actually roast bananas and puree them. And it's like taking your mouth to a tropical island. It's really delicious.
Sounds lovely. Melissa Passanen writes for the Savorvore section of the Burlington Free Press. Melissa, thanks for joining us again at the VPR Cafe.
Always fun, Rick.